This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to the Danny Mac Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Welcome back to the Danny Mac Podcast on the Bet Rivers Podcast Network. I'm glad you've chosen to spend some time with me today as we get closer to the NFL's new calendar year. It starts a week from tomorrow, a week from Wednesday, assuming you're listening to this podcast on Tuesday the 5th, when I'm recording it. Yet today, there is going to be news all over the NFL because it's franchise tag day in the greatest game ever invented. And the Bears are going to be making news because Jalen Johnson is going to receive that bad news today. I'll be shocked if it goes the other way. Legarius Sneed, the outstanding corner for the Super Bowl champion Chiefs, was tagged yesterday. It's not the kind of thing you want to hear because, especially in the case of Sneed, you feel like you've earned the right to get a long-term contract that pays you among the best, maybe the best, at your position, and you have to wait at least another year to get that big money. You're going to be paid well, the average of the top five salaries in the league at your position, and for Jalen Johnson, it's going to mean about $20 million, a little bit less than $20 million, maybe $18 million. I haven't looked at the average salaries today, but that's right around where it goes for a great corner. In the case of Sneed, he's a dude who is taking the ball away a little bit more. He's also a more physical player than Johnson is. Johnson has not been a tackles for loss guy ever in his career. Not that that's the number one priority of his position, but by accident, cornerbacks who play a high volume of snaps get TFLs. He's had one in each of his four NFL seasons. More importantly, way more importantly, interceptions. Interceptions that can be returned for touchdowns that turn into dropped interceptions and cost your team possessions. That's something I can't live with for a guy who's going to earn a long-term huge money deal. And the Bears have committed a lot of money to the defensive side of the ball already with Montez Sweat's $98 million contract. Johnson had chances this past year for at least one other pick six. He had the one against the Raiders early in the season. Brian Hoyer, that's the show me the money mechanic, pick six. But he had another opportunity. He had one against the Lions. And he doesn't catch the football. He's going to be pissed about this. That's the way it goes. It's one of the nasty things about the CBA. I don't agree with it, and teams admit it's unfair to players. It's something that they hate to do, but you have to do it. In this case, it's good for the Bears. They have that opportunity because you want to see a little bit more of Terrell Smith, the fifth-round pick out of Minnesota. He started four games last year for the Bears. He looked pretty good. He looked like he belonged. Got a long way to go before you're convinced, but it's a very good start to his career. And Tyrique Stevenson, another rookie last season for the Bears, who was much more prevalent than Smitty was in the Bears' defensive schemes, and he got a lot more snaps. He looked really good. He had three picks in his first year. I think he had 12 starts on the season. He's got a long way to go as a tackler. He missed tackles. He's not physical. He doesn't really seem to understand the mechanics of breaking down and getting the guy with the hoochie on his ass. Hopefully he can get better at that. But it's a smart move to keep Johnson for one more year and see if you get more development from Stevenson and Smith, who are on first-year deals or first contracts and affordable for a long time. before you part with them. That's a good thing. The Bears made a trade with Buffalo Monday, and Ryan Poles goes out and gets Ryan Bates, who he wanted from the Bills roster. He's an offensive lineman. He's a guard. He's a tackle. He's not a starter. That's the problem here. He wanted him 2 years ago when he was a restricted free agent. The Bills matched the Chicago offer, so he stayed in Buffalo. In that season, 2022, he started 15 games for the Bills, but he wasn't a starter last year. This is not a big move for the Bears. I've seen it positioned in headlines and by some guys who cover sports, talk about them, write about them, as Poles gets his man, the Bears add you know, depth to the offensive line. That's all they're adding is depth. I don't know if he gets his man. Maybe it's a guy he was stuck on. You ever been stuck on a guy? I have. Maybe that's what it is with Poles and Bates, but I don't expect Bates to be a significant player. I think the Bears still got to go out and make a move. They trade a fifth-round pick for him. Okay, it wasn't, you know, it's not that costly, and you do need some guys who can play, but you're going to draft a center or get one in free agency. That's the priority on the O-line. You're better at tackle than you are at guard, and you are better at guard than you are at center. You don't really have a center right now, and I thought Lucas Patrick was okay last year. I thought he was a lot better than some people told you he was, but you'd like to get – you don't want to draft a center with a rookie quarterback, Caleb Williams, coming in, because that's who it is, in case you haven't heard. Caleb is coming. Hosanna, hey, Zanna, ho. Chicago's going to have some offensive parades this coming season. You need a center. You're not sure if you can trust Tevin Jenkins to stay healthy. He's been damn good. He's physical. He's angry. But he's often in the trainer's room. He spends way too much time hurt. And he's been in the league only a short while to have as many injuries as he's had. I'm not saying it's something that is on him. It's his fault. But when you can't be available, that's your number one ability, is your availability, guys were told once upon a time in this National Football League. There are draft mocks coming out every day, and I can't read enough of them. The one that caught my attention this morning was Lance Zierlein. I don't believe a relation to the kicker, Greg the Leg Zierlein. Lance Zierlein has the Bears taking Caleb Williams, number one, of course, and then suggesting they will trade down, they will trade their second first-round pick, the ninth overall, to Denver and flip with the Broncos, who have the 12th pick. And the Broncos, of course, parting ways with Russell Wilson, eating an NFL record, $85 million of dead cap. Oh, God. And George Payton, the general manager of the Broncos, kept his job despite the hiring of Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson's contract. Woo! He survived that. He could survive a lot. So Zierlein has the Bears flipping with Denver, the 9 for the 12, and the Bears taking wide receiver Rome Odunze from Washington. Rome, if you want to. Every mock I look at, whether the Bears are keeping the pick or trading the pick, or whether they take Williams, which is now the prohibitive favorite, or even slide down with the Commanders at 2 or the Patriots at 3, gives me reason to think if you're a Bears fan, you should be so salivating over this draft and what your team can become so quickly. This is not hyperbole. This is getting difference makers at the most important positions on your roster and guys who are good available in those first 9 picks at quarterback, at wide receiver, And Zuerlein's mock had neighbors of LSU going ahead of Marvin Harrison. He has neighbors going to the Cardinals at 4, and the Chargers, Jim Harbaugh's LA Chargers, taking Marvin Harrison Jr. at 5. It's a great draft for receivers and offensive linemen. And while I said the Bears are better at tackle than guard and better at guard than center, I mean that they still, if you got a chance, geez, if you're staring at Joe Alt at number 9, number 76 from Notre Dame, Zuerlein's draft has the other tackle, Latham from Alabama, going ahead of Alt, one pick. You got to be tempted to take him, but whether you get Williams slash Odunze, or Williams slash Alt, Williams slash Bowers, if you want to, you know, trade down and get multiple picks in the later round, second and third, to take Brock Bowers, who I see almost everywhere projected to go 15th to the Indianapolis Colts. God, is that sexy. And you got Cole Kmet, but Brock Bowers looks like one of those game-changing tight ends in a league full of them. A guy very much like young George Kittle, just a wild man running out of the slot and breaking tackles, good down the seam, good near the sideline, and a guy who's not afraid to get his nose dirty, as they like to say. That would be good, too. So every scenario gives you reason for vaso engorgement if you're a Bears fan and you're looking for this team to get an offensive uptick. Caleb Williams, playful at the combine, didn't do physicals, didn't work out, but he showed up to address questions about him and about whether he'd play here, there, or else. And he did all the right things. He said all the right things. He scored points with people from a PR standpoint. He did with me, not that he needed to, but I came away from what he did in Indianapolis liking the dude very much, and he seems very well adjusted to life under the spotlight. And he, you know, by now he's made more than $10 million already. So this is hopefully a very mature dude, and surrounding himself with mature people who are advising him properly. He seems like he's pretty well grounded. But again, these are just early impressions of a young dude who's just on the cusp of making a fortune and acquitted himself nicely. I loved everything I watched out of the combine. It's fun. I'm glad the NFL does it. And I'm glad that John Ross's record now has been broken by the speedster from Texas, who likely will be. Zuerlein has him going 32nd. The name is escaping me. It doesn't matter. Last pick in the first round, who broke John Ross, the former Bengals record of 40 time at the combine with a 4.21. Ross had run a 4.22 and then proceeded to suck donkey wong in the NFL. He was terrible his entire time there. Last thing I have for you today is happy 79th birthday wishes to former Pittsburgh Steeler Rocky Blyer, an American hero, a Super Bowl champion 4 times with the Steelers, born in Appleton, Wisconsin, went to the University of Notre Dame and served in Vietnam. In a conflict in Vietnam, he and his platoon were under siege, and he took a bullet in his left leg, in his thigh. He also had damage done to his right foot and lower leg from a grenade that had bounced off a fellow soldier, and he was going to throw the grenade before it exploded. It exploded. He lost a little bit of his right foot. Doctors in a Tokyo hospital told Blyer he'd never play football again. Art Rooney, the late owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers, said, "Rocky, we need you. We believe in you. Take your time with this, but you're going to be back here." He was back there. And he and Franco Harris in 1976 became just the second tandem of NFL running backs to have two guys go for 1,000 yards or more. It's only happened 7 times in league history. Larry Zonka and Mercury Morris were the first to do it on the Perfect Dolphins in 72. And then Franco and Blyer did it for the Steelers in 76. Most recently, it was done by Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram of the Baltimore Ravens when each of them rushed for more than 1,000 yards in the 2019 season. But Blyer was a terrific representative of his community in Wisconsin and of Notre Dame, and was always accessible, available. He wrote a book called Fighting Back. I think Dan Jenkins collaborated with him on that project, and it was terrific. They made a TV movie out of it. It was terrible. Robert Ulrich, I believe, was the star who played Rocky Blyer. But the legend was Blyer was the only player in NFL history who played with a shoe size, one size different from the left foot to the right. And I don't know if that's true. I did interview Rocky Blyer a few times over the years and found him to be a treat to talk to. A really, really good guy. And a four-time Super Bowl champion, 79 years old today. Happy birthday, Rocky. And thank you for your service. And thank you for listening to the Danny Mac podcast today on the Bet Rivers Podcast Network. It seems like it's been a while since we've gotten together. It was just last Thursday, but we're now doing, and I only did one last week because I was out of town in Arizona and then not feeling well at the end of the week. We're going to be dropping these podcasts on Tuesdays and again on Thursdays, unless there is anything that is breaking, anything other than the Blackhawks being shut out by a rookie goaltender, as was the case last night for the Hawks in Denver. Oh, man, it's gotten bad. So upcoming interviews, Dave Tobe of the Super Bowl champion Chiefs, and in a couple of weeks, fingers crossed, Bears Hall of Famer Brian Urlacher will be joining me on the Danny Mac podcast. Thanking Sam Michael, who's the executive producer of the show. Adam Delavitt is the guy who runs everything at Bet Rivers. Randy Merkin handles all of our guest inventory. Troy Mocker in research and development. Alex Pastor, the son of James Pastor, handles social media. Thank you very much for listening. And those of you watching on YouTube, thanks as well. I'm Dan McNeil.
Thanks for listening to the Danny Mac Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.